Welcome to our Christmas message, Christmas the 25th of December 2024. We'll start by reading the well-known Christmas scripture, Luke 2 verse 1 to 5. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Father God, as we share your word on this wonderful occasion where we celebrate your birth, we pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will be our portion and that we will be blessed as we look at what you have to say. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. The title of this message is possibly an unusual title for a Christmas message, and it is Lonely Travelers. Lonely Travelers. Throughout the Bible, we have many instances of people who go on journeys. Journeys that have been instigated by God, but journeys not just for the sake of going from A to B. Journeys with a mission. And very often, the participants of these journeys didn't really know where they were going. And very often, they were fleeing from something. But in all of it, God had a plan. I'd like us to look at just a few of these journeys, as it were. There are many, many more. But we find them throughout the Bible, as I said. In Exodus 3 verse 15, we read about Moses, a prince in the court of Pharaoh, and we all remember the incident where he murders a slave overseer because he sees him assaulting one of his countrymen. Anyway, we read in Exodus 3:15, when Pharaoh heard of this, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. In those few words, we gather that Moses traveled for many, many days, fleeing the wrath of Pharaoh. And one can just wonder what thoughts were passing through his mind. I'm sure he felt a failure. I'm sure he felt that although he had been charged with the deliverance of Israel, he'd made a complete mess of it. He was probably thinking that it was all over. It must have been quite a lonely journey with those thoughts. And geographically, he travelled quite a distance, if you think that he was going by foot. And eventually, it's almost like he came to the end of his tether and sat down by a well, probably feeling overwhelmed. Well, as we all know, God wasn't finished with him yet, and God had yet to raise him up to be the great deliverer of Israel. The time had yet to come. But I just want us to think for a minute of that lonely journey. He travelled almost in despair, and yet something kept him going. Let's go a bit further into the word. A bit further along, we come to the story of Ruth. We all know the gentle story of Ruth and how she found herself with a mother-in-law, no husband, no prospect, destitute to all intents and purposes. Anyway, the two daughters, they make a choice. The one decides to stay in Moab, but Ruth, as we know, decided to go back to Israel with her mother-in-law. We read in Ruth 1 verse 19, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? It must have made quite a pitiful sight, these two women on their own, travelling so many, many miles, not knowing what they were going to. All they knew is that up till then, everything had been a complete failure, to the extent that when the people in her hometown says, "Is this not Naomi?" she said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara," because of all the tragedy. Anyway, as we know, despite this lonely journey, this was a journey into destiny. And as the story goes, Ruth was raised up, and her mother-in-law as well, and ultimately became part of the genealogy of Christ. Then we read the scripture where in Luke, the time came for Joseph and Mary to go up because it was an order, a decree. See, they couldn't disobey it. And they probably thought when they heard the decree, can this be right? This is the very worst time for us as a family to travel. And once again, they must have cut a very lonely couple traveling the distance all the way to Bethlehem. Another story which involves travelers, we find a bit later, also a well-known Christmas story, and one that really blesses me, Matthew 2, verse 1 to 2. Now, after Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Once again, we have this story of people going on a journey. And if one just enters into the picture, one can imagine that these wise men, the magi as we call them, were following a star. But all the time they had no idea what they were going to. Every step of the way, there must have been question marks. There must have been tugging in their hearts. There must have been thoughts telling them, "You're wasting your time." We see all these people traveling on momentous journeys, as it turns out. And they don't stand alone. You can think of Abraham, of Isaac, many others. Traveling to destinations unknown. Being told sometimes that, "I'll show you when we get there." But all these people undertook these journeys. And as we read the scriptures, these journeys turned into events of great consequence, of great glory, not only for the people that undertook them, but many others, and indeed the whole world. Why am I referring to this at this time of the year? Perhaps you and I, as people on this earth, feel somewhat like many of these individuals. We all are, of course, on a life journey. And very often, on that life journey, we might find ourselves in a place where we wonder, is this all worthwhile? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? What is the end plan, as it were? Where is God in all of this? Life is like that very often. But I want us this season to take comfort from this fact. What kept Joseph and Mary going? Despite the difficulties, all the hazards, the sheer inconvenience of all the places any woman would want to give birth to a child, perhaps a dirty stable would be the last. What kept them going? What kept the Magi traveling those many, many miles to a distant land? What kept Moses going in that long, arduous journey to a place he did not know where? All of them, what kept them going? Well, you see, what really kept all of them going is that even though the circumstances looked wrong, unsettling, without any possible outcome, all of them carried something in their hearts. And that thing was hope. They had hope. You just think about those kings, those wise men. They had doubts in their heart, yes. But above them was a star. And they chose to keep their eyes on the star. And that led them, ultimately, to the Christ, to salvation, to possibly the greatest event that ever took place on this earth. We think of Joseph and Mary traveling those miles slowly because of her condition. What kept them going? All the promises that had been made about the hope that Mary carried within her. Not just hope for themselves, but hope for the nation, and indeed hope for the world. As we approach this Christmas season, I want us to think about that. You think of the occasion of Christ's birth, and because of his birth, and of course his resurrection, and because if you and I have received him into our heart, if we found, as it were, room in the inn of our heart, for us to realize that no matter what we face, no matter what our circumstances or the conditions around us, we carry that hope in our heart. The hope of life eternal, the hope of God's eyes always looking upon us, taking care of us, and wanting the very best for us. May we take this hope at this Christmas season. May we take that hope into the year that lies ahead. And may that blessing be upon us as we face whatever comes our way. And may it lead us safely to the other side. May you and your families be blessed in this Christmas season, and may we know the joy that is the reason for the hope within us. Be blessed in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.